Joining me today is Mackenzie Fish, and she is coming to us from Central Columbia High School in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, where she's serving as her chapter's president. Mackenzie, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. I'm excited to hear about your SAE. You've got a really interesting project going on. Well, how old are you, Mackenzie?
I'm 18 years old.
All right. How long have you been part of the FFA?
Since freshman year of high school, so it'd be 4 years.
All right. Now, what made you want to join? Why did you become part of this organization?
I have an older sister that was in it, and my father and grandfather were both in it, too. And then I saw some videos that the high school came and showed us while I was still in middle school, and it was very unique. I got to see both like wildlife and equestrian or anything that I was passionate about was like all in that same class. So sure. I was really excited to take something like that.
Cool. So you got recruited.
Yep.
Very good. So you had the family legacy, and then of course you got to see what it was all about. So you've been doing it for 4 years now. Has it lived up to your expectations?
It has a lot. When I first joined, there was like no communication. I wouldn't talk at all. And then my ag advisors really helped me to get involved with public speaking and do some competitions. It definitely helped me a lot.
Here you are. You're talking to thousands of people now.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Okay. Now, how long have you been serving as an officer?
I started as a junior advisor my freshman year, and then I moved to secretary position, and then recently a president position for this year.
Okay. So what pushes you to want to serve as an officer? I mean, you're already doing so much in school and then with the FFA on top of that. What makes you want to be an officer as well?
I think just looking up to other FFA members and seeing everyone involved in my chapter, looking up to like the state officers, it was something that I wanted to take on because I was passionate about it.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, good for you. And what's been the biggest challenge this year serving as the president?
Keeping track with all the meetings and knowing what members are going to do, what competitions, and helping them out would probably be the most difficult.
Very cool. Well, good for you. Well, now let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So what have you been doing?
So basically, I raise worms, all different kinds of worms. And I stock them for stores for fishermen and then also people who have reptiles and they'll use them for treats. But when I raise the worms myself, they reproduce and then they also have castings in the bins. And that's something, there's like an educational side to my project where I get to do presentations and be like a guest speaker at some banquets. I've been able to tell people about the casting benefits and with the worms.
Very cool. Okay, so how did you get started with worms?
I originally started it thinking it would be a very simple project, that there would be like no communication involved. That was the complete opposite, though. I started with a supplier from Pennsylvania, where I'm at, and I got a box of 500 worms from them. And then I came up with my logo, Fish's Worms. And because my last name is Fish, I had the perfect last name for a slogan, Let a Fish Bait Your Hook. And so that kind of gave me incentive to work this business. And then I started finding out that when I had to clean the bins about all the benefits with the castings, and I had a passion for fishing too. So to take it the fishing industry route, I knew that I could do good with this project and take it far.
That is really cool. You said you're raising all different types of worms. Do you have a favorite type of worm?
The red worms are probably my favorite because they can consume almost anything. And it's neat to put anything in the growing bins and see how much they like it.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. Now, how does this process work? So you initially bought 500 worms to get you started. Now you get the worms delivered to your place. What do you have to have ready and what do you do after the worms get delivered?
So I have growing bins, and when they get delivered, I put them into the growing bins, and I always have my bins labeled for what date it is because I have to feed them and keep the moisture at a certain level for them. And depending on what worm species I raise, they have to be at a certain temperature. So that's something I'm always checking. And then I have to have a very good environment for them to reproduce. That was something that didn't happen for me until a whole entire year into my project. And it was really neat to see all the worm eggs and then the small worms. And
really interesting. What do you have to put in the tubs, I guess, for them to grow in? I mean, is it just dirt? Is it topsoil? What do you have to put in?
Oh, we also put in They have the dirt and topsoil and a lot of newspaper. They consume a lot of food scraps, and we always keep straw in there because it's a slow breakdown process for them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the worms I have to watch, they can't consume things. I have a mealyworm that has a bacteria in its stomach, and it can break down styrofoam, which is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not too much more over the bins. I keep a light, though, because they're non-phototactic, and if I didn't have that, they would get out and be everywhere, and that's happened before.
Oh, really? So without light, yep. They'll escape the bin?
They do, and that's how we actually we get the castings out of the bins by flipping the bin upside down, and they all go to the center because they don't like the light, and then we can take the castings off.
Very interesting. Well, tell me about developing your business. So when you started this project, did you intend it to be a business, or is that something that you've kind of realized was possible for you over time?
That was something I realized over time. I started out in a few different store locations, and then eventually people started to become familiar with my business, and there's not too many live bait stores around my location. And the only other one that was in close proximity, they experienced a devastating fire. But they turned around and wanted to help me. And then my brother also wants to be involved with this project, and we wanted to take it to the next level with constructing our own store.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to get my zoning permit, and then I also am planning to raise minnows as well as worms in the store. So I went through the Department of Ag to get a permit to raise them.
Really?
There's certain minnows that I can't have because I live in the Susquehanna watershed in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So some are off limits.
Okay.
And then so far we've had certified electricians come in and check all the work, and it's coming along.
Really cool. So you're going to raise minnows as well. So your passion for fishing has a lot to do with what you're doing here, obviously.
Yep, it does.
Very cool. Do you advertise the fact that this is also an FFA project?
I do. I've used it for multiple FFA competitions, like ag sales. I've also done it for my local fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used it a lot for FFA too.
Very, very cool. Well, that is great. Now tell me about the name again. The name is Fish's Worms, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
So I've got to ask you, so you're going to be graduating. So what's going to go on with you once you graduate, and what's going to go on with Fish's Worms?
So I'm hoping that the store will open before I graduate. I'm planning to attend a college close by so I can help with the business. I plan to attend for 2 years and then go further out to get a degree in wildlife and fisheries management. And so I don't know exactly from there what's going to happen, but
well, that's fascinating. And have you had other jobs throughout high school other than this, or has this business been your primary source of you working and making money?
I have another job actually working with horses, doing barn work. And what I earned off of that is actually some of what I put into getting worms shipped to me and investments I've made in this business.
That is great. I'm fascinated with the fact that you've got so much passion for this that you're working another job. And in high school, when I was in high school and I worked a job, I spent that money just on me. I didn't invest it into a business. You're investing it into something that is going to provide you a ton of experience and a revenue source going forward. That's great. Good for you.
Thank you.
You bet. That's awesome. Well, I've got to ask you. So if there's another student out there listening and they've got a passion for something like fishing or whatever it may be, and they're looking and they're going, I wish I could make a living doing that, what advice would you have for a student that would want to replicate what you've done in their passion?
That there's definitely going to be a lot of trial and error. There's going to be a lot of loss. I've lost thousands of worms. You just have to learn from those experiences and keep working at it. And if you're passionate about it, you can go far with it, no matter what. You'll find ways to do that.
That's a great answer, and I think you're 100% right. If it's truly the right fit for you, you're going to find a way to make it happen, right?
Yep.
That's great, Mackenzie. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. I'm fascinated with your business, fascinated with your passion, and really enjoyed hearing about it.
Thank you.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.